All right. Really grateful to see you guys. Thankful for you being back. Reuben, good to see you, man. Wilson's glad to have you guys back, and good to be back together once again. Really appreciative of the support of everybody coming to the Family Fellowship Day in Wauseon. It was great to see everybody, to have some of those opportunities for connection and fellowship there, and really, really enjoyed that, and appreciated the support from the congregation here in Lima as well. So thank you for that. We're in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to be finishing off this chapter today, Lord willing. We're going to be focusing on 11 through 14, but we're going to start in chapter 9 to pick up just a little bit of context. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 9. "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Let's pray. Awesome God, I'm thankful for this time. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the help that you give us through your Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for what you give us through your word, Lord God. I pray that I would be able to communicate clearly and effectively this afternoon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. "Concerning him, we have much to say, but you have become dull of hearing." I'm sure that's only a Hebrews problem, right? I'm sure glad that people today don't ever become dull of hearing. I'm planning on taking a little trip out to Montana, and Mr. Tuck in our congregation in Wauseon, he wrote me up a route, because I mentioned about not necessarily wanting to go the same route that I always go, and he's, if there's anybody that I know that's not a professional trucker, that has taken the route out to Montana more than myself, it's Mr. Tom Tuck, okay? And he wrote me up a route going through the UP, which I thought was fairly interesting. And yeah, I know that it's going to be longer, but I don't have a time constraint on this one. And so I think I'm going to take it. I am going to go up this route to see some different sites because, you know, frankly, I've become dull of seeing I-80 West. I have become dull of seeing I-29 North, and I have become dull of seeing I-90 West. I've become dull of seeing, right? I've seen it. It was a little bit nice this last time. You know, we left camp. I actually got to see the Mississippi River in the daylight. You know, that was kind of cool because almost always it's at night when we go across it going out west. But so that was fine. But boy, it's like, you know, I know every rest stop. I know what truck stops to stop at and to not stop at. I'm kind of surprised I don't know the cashier's names. You know, like that's just, it's the way that I go, you know. So I've kind of become dull of hearing, dull of seeing a little bit. And in the same way, the writer is talking about Melchizedek, and he really wants to talk about Jesus' great high priestly work. But he's going to take a detour here to admonish them to lift their attention from the basics to the more advanced. And the writer of Hebrews is going to get to talk about Melchizedek. Remember, anybody in here ever heard Larry Gohl preach? So Larry Gohl made the statement one time, and this is paraphrased, but he said, "The sign of a professional preacher is the rapidity at which he gets from the topic that he was assigned to what he really wants to talk about." Okay? Now, as somebody who puts on camps and rallies, I don't particularly appreciate that, right? I'd kind of like you to talk about the topic that you were assigned. But I thought that that was interesting in this context because the author of the book of Hebrews is going to talk about Melchizedek. He's going to talk about his great high priestly work. But he has to take a detour here at the chapter 6, at the end of chapter 5, talking about some basics. The writer is going to get to the things concerning Jesus' high priestly work. So, the Hebrews' dullness of hearing, it had to do with the fact that they're not setting their eyes on the things that were of spiritual relevance. And so the Holy Spirit is also working with us to lift our eyes to the things that are really important. And so the symptoms and the circumstances for the Hebrews would look a little bit different than what they look like today. But the underlying problem, even for Christians today, is that there's a tendency that we focus on earth, that we focus on the immediate, that we focus on the things of the scriptures, like, you know, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? Like, those are the type of things that have a tendency to pull at our attention, whether it's our work, whether it's what the market's doing, you know, whether what our house value is, you know, all of these things really, really have a tendency to pull at our attention. And when they do that, Satan is happy to have the things of earth pull at our attention. And I want us to think for just a little bit, because the Hebrew Christians are about to experience the Great Tribulation, right? They're about to experience the worst that things ever were or ever would be, according to Jesus in Matthew 24. And the Hebrew writer doesn't say, because all of these things are the case, and he's preparing him for these things, right? It's one of the express purposes of this letter. He doesn't give them an exposition on how they should prep for the oncoming doom, right? He doesn't tell them that they need to be able to be investing all of their assets into Bitcoin and gold, right? He doesn't tell them how they need to stock up and make sure that they have enough toilet paper, right? He doesn't say any of these things. But what's he say? The thing that's going to get you through is focusing on the things above. The thing that is going to preserve your soul, yeah, what that's going to be is understanding the spiritual significance of Jesus' work on the other side of the cloud. That's what's going to preserve you. See, you know, Jesus thought it was of relevance to say, hey, when you see these signs coming, you get out of Jerusalem, right? And that's all of the earthly advice that you get. Get out. Pray that it's not on a Sabbath. Pray that it's not in the winter. You get out. And so the author of Hebrews is coming behind this, and he's saying, hey, this is what's important for the saving and preserving of your soul. So again, the encouragement is to get us to look up. And so there might be a tendency for some of us to say, yep, I understand that, and you know, I'm on spirituality 201. It's not, I don't have the issues there. It's not about the earthly things. I've got my focus. It's good to go. But how many times do people look at Christianity as a way to somehow make their lives better? That Christianity is the conduit to making their lives better. Christianity is the conduit to making their kids better. Christianity is the conduit to making their marriage better, their parenting better, their station in life better. And if that's our view of Christianity, we're missing the point. That is not what Christianity is intended to do. The point is to glorify Jesus, to learn to be pleasing to Jesus, to learn to live by faith day after day after day. to really have our focus shifted up so that we can see things the way that God sees things, care about the things that God cares about, and love the things that God loves. If we do this, we will be better parents, better spouses, better workers, and transformed people. But that doesn't mean things are going to get better. In a lot of ways, your station might get worse. Your situation might get worse. Didn't Jesus say something about turning mother-in-law against daughter-in-law? Something about, you know, a man's enemies are going to be in his own household? See, the truth of the scriptures a lot of times brings real friction with it, doesn't it? What's the reality of the situation? Yeah, a situation where, wife's a Christian and husband's not. Does that bring some friction? You have a situation where kids become Christians, and then mom or dad passes away, and mom and dad wasn't a Christian. Does that bring some friction? Internal and external? Brings some friction, doesn't it? So Christianity is not a conduit to making your life better. But what if we can shift our mind to things above, God will change and transform us, and we will care about the things that are actually above. See, we're not to become dull of hearing, but we're to actually prioritize the things that God says matters. Those are the things that matter. Too many times, okay, so Christianity has to be applicable and practical for it to be of use. But we have to understand that the things that are really going to preserve our souls are also incredibly doctrinal and theological. It is your mindset that really... it is the mindset that powers the practical application. If you have practical application that is removed from mindset, that's living by law, not by faith. And so that's why the author of Hebrews is saying here, let me give you an understanding of Jesus as our high priest, and that's what's going to practically power you through. That's what's going to do it. And so that's encouraging to us, because no matter what the future has in store, what's our focus to be? Jesus in glory. Understanding the importance of Jesus' high priestly work on the other side of that cloud. So then in verse 12 of chapter 5, it says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. You ought to be a teacher, but instead you need teaching. We start where we start, and that's okay. You know, there's something, I want to be very careful in the way that I say this. Nobody hear it wrong, okay? But because I can control how you hear it, right? there's something within the religious realm that there's this idea that come as you are. Right? Anybody kind of heard that? Come as you are. There's a real sense in which come as you are, when a person is becoming a Christian, is absolutely correct. Okay? Because how hard... Okay. Let's think about the gospel message. Is the gospel message inherently very hard? Is it very difficult? Is it difficult to become a Christian? In fact, I would say that God has made it as easy as he possibly could, as simple as he possibly could, for a person to become a Christian. Believe, repent, confess, be immersed in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is there anything about that that is inherently complex? Is there anything about that that is inherently difficult? Okay. So, we all start where we start. And that's really the only choice that we have, so I'm glad God accepts us that way. But I don't know about you, but my state before Christ is a wreck of a disaster. And actually, I do know about you because there's this little scripture that's called, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So I do know that you are a wreck of a disaster. You were a wreck of a disaster. It doesn't matter what it looked like on the outside. Whether it looks good by, you know, the rest of the world's moral grading scale, like what good is that anyway? Or whether it's terrible by the rest of the world's moral grading scale. Their scale doesn't matter, right? Ever had professors that grade on a curve? Well, there's a Jesus curve, and you fail, okay? All of sin and fall short of the glory of God. So God loves us enough that we're not going to stay, that he's not going to let us stay in our wreck of a disaster. So yeah, come as you are, but you better not be staying there, man. So then there's an encouragement here to the Hebrew Christians, or a rebuke even, I would say, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you about the elementary principles of the oracles of God and have come to need milk and not solid food. There's a couple things here. He's like saying, look, you ought to be teachers, you're not. And so to tell you about the things about our great high priest, Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to go back and reestablish these things that you should already know. He's willing to do that, but he's telling them, hey, pay attention. Don't become dull of hearing because you need to understand these things to get to where you need to go. So the encouragement that I want us to receive then is wherever we're at right now in Christ, that's where we're at. We can't do anything about yesterday. We can't do anything about 5 years ago, 25 years ago, or 5 minutes ago. What we can do is something about where we're at right now. And that's where we need to grow in knowledge. We need to grow in understanding. We need to grow in our habits. We need to grow in reprogramming our mind. And so maybe we ought to be teachers. The first step to becoming a teacher is to start learning right now. That's how we move on to the solid food of the scriptures, is we get down the milk. So it's not okay to stay at a place of infantile understanding. There's a statement that I really appreciate that I stole from child psychologist and parenting expert Kevin Lehman. Okay, it's really complex here, okay? B cannot happen until A is complete. Okay? Might be something good to use with your kids as well. Okay, B cannot happen until A is complete. It is a great parenting principle that I encourage you to implement, but it works that way in our spiritual lives as well, doesn't it? B cannot happen until A is complete. Isn't God going to work us through specific discipline processes and help us to get it? And we don't really get to move on until A is complete. B cannot happen until A is complete. And when God is working us through his discipline process, if we don't learn it the first time, we get to learn it again and learn it again. And learn it again until we get it. B cannot happen until A is complete. We know that this is the way it works. And you can't diagram a sentence in English until you understand the main parts of speech. If you don't get the main parts of speech, you're going to be lost trying to diagram a sentence in English. You can't learn algebra unless you understand basic arithmetic. B cannot happen unless A is complete. Well, in the same way, you can't move on to the meat of the word unless you get the milk. The milk is vitally important. It's vitally important. You need the milk of the word. But if you stay at the milk of the word, it's amazing how long some people can remain spiritual infants. And that's not what the Lord wants from us. So, for each one of us, I want there to be a determined zeal that we're going to move on to more solid food, that we're going to grow in that understanding today. Now, it's interesting. He talks about the oracles of God, and he talks about some basics of Christianity. We're not going to talk expositionally go through this today, but if you take a look at Hebrews 6, starting in verse 1, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of instruction about washing and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and this we shall do if God permits. I want you to notice two things. Number one, these are references back to parts of the Old Testament law, aren't they? But they're not just that, right? Because, okay, let us press on. Well, first, teaching about the Christ, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. That's a new covenant. That's a new covenant concept, isn't it? Faith towards God. Instruction about washings. Maybe immersion into Jesus Christ. Laying on of hands. The resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment. So even though there are things that this can refer back to on the Old Covenant, it's just like the rest of the scriptures. Okay, there's things about the Old Covenant that are pointing to these new covenant principles. And what he's saying is, I don't want to have to go over all of those new covenant or these basics again. I want you to move on to the meatier stuff. I want you to really get the stuff that matter, or get, not that matter, it all matters, you got to have the milk, but I want you to move on to maturity, right? And so one thing that I want to warn us about, because I've seen this happen, and I've seen this happen with people who believe in immersion for the forgiveness of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, is that people start to justify their infantile behavior or their infantile understanding. See, maybe the only thing that they preach is the basic doctrines that are listed here. If you just preach repentance and baptism, repentance and baptism, repentance and baptism, right, then you probably don't want to hear that the only thing that is milk. Do we need repentance and baptism? Well, you can't be saved without it, okay? Right? But there's a reason that to the Lord's church, you know, it's not like I give a believe, repent, confess, be immersed into Jesus Christ message every Sunday and plead for people to come forward and be immersed, right? I'm talking to the church. But what can be a problem is if that's the only thing that you preach about, it's the only thing that you teach about, then you're going to want to justify that preaching and teaching. Okay? And you're going to want to to make less of what the Bible actually calls the meat, the things concerning what happened on the other side of that cloud, the things concerning Jesus, our great high priest, the things concerning Christ who is in glory. I mean, think about all the things that are connected with that, right? And think about, you know, Jesus in his power position. Think about, you've been raised up and seated with him in the heavenly places. Think about what that means about our worship. Think, I mean, there's cascading understand. If you are wanting to deny the meat of the Word of God, you're going to stay a spiritual infant. Okay? And ultimately, can you be sustained with milk alone? So an encouragement this afternoon is don't do that. Wherever you're at today is where you're at. But move forward. Be willing to admit and be honest with yourself with where you're at today so that you can make true progress. Don't make excuses for where you've been. In verse 13 it says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." What are you accustomed to? What are you used to? You know, in the Christian school in Wauseon, you know, we have memorization that we go through, and the kids are used to quoting and memorizing, and what they're used to is about 7 verses a week. Okay, that's normal. It's what they do. That's the normal thing, and so they're used to that. That's what they're accustomed to, and so that's what they do. And it's kind of interesting because I've had kids come in who've even struggled to memorize, right? And they come in, and before you know it, they're doing 7 verses a week as well, right? Because that's what we've normalized in our school. And each school situation is different. I'm using this example because, you know, for a lot of you, if I told you, okay, between now and next Sunday, memorize 7 verses, it might be really, really difficult because you're not accustomed to memorizing, right? Some of you, no problem at all, right? So what you become accustomed to is normal to you. Again, I'm not going to try not to get too political here, but we all got accustomed, not that we liked it, okay? But we got all accustomed to the mass there for a while, okay? And you didn't like it, you didn't enjoy it, but you had to think about it. You had to think about it, right? So either you're going to think about it and not go out, you're going to think about it. But for me, I got in the habit, okay, is this dirty mask that I haven't washed in 4 weeks, is it in my back pocket, right? Asking that question, right? Okay, I got my mask, I'm good to go, right? So you got accustomed to it because there are consequences if you didn't. When you guys were in Vietnam, right, could you drink the water? Could the Vietnamese drink the water? Davy and Sue couldn't drink the water. Davy and Sue drink the water. They're sick, man. Vietnamese, no problem. Right? It's what they're used to. It's what they're accustomed to. That's what they know. Normal. Their stomachs would not, right? They'd be useless the rest of the trip because they'd be sick. See, everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I was reading an article about diet, and it said this: if your body has been accustomed to eating certain things in a certain way, deviating from that in a significant way is going to backfire. What's it saying? Is you've got to make small incremental changes over time, or otherwise you're going to be sick, man. And we have a tendency to react that way to the things that we don't know, don't we? If I don't know it, it must be dangerous. It must be a threat. But as simple as that sounds, what if you grow accustomed and satisfied with the milk where there's the need for meat? If you don't know any different, then you think that the milk is good enough. And if you get a real meal, if you get some meat, sometimes that's upsetting to your system. It makes me think about some of the preachers there in the mid-90s who were first getting introduced to some of the concepts about the new creation and the gospel of glory. You know, they hadn't heard anything like that. And that's upsetting to the system. And what are we going to do with this, because it's different than the milk that we've been receiving? So I have a great deal of thankfulness and regard for guys who had maybe only ever received the milk of the word and who were desirous for something more, who, even though it was a threat, even though it was something that they weren't accustomed to, and it could be incredibly scary, that they were willing to take another step to really find out, what is this meat? You know, and if you think about, in a lot of ways, the people like Steve Doty, the people like Mike Hartman, the people like Mike Harbour, they were the exceptions, not the rule. What did most of the preachers, there's a lot of preachers that got exposed to the gospel of glory, places like Grundy, Virginia, Kiamichi Clinic, a lot of different places where people got exposed to the message of the gospel of glory. And what did those milk drinkers do with that meat typically? They attacked it, didn't they? This is terrible. We don't want any of this. This is a threat, right? But there were some of those guys who a lot of us are results of that said, there's something here. And I might not be accustomed to this yet, but I want it. I love the word of righteousness. Do we love the word of righteousness? Do we crave it? Is that what we truly want? Or is it satisfied with just the milk of the word? Do we want to see things the way that God sees things, care about things the way that God cares about things, love things the way that God loves things? Do we love the word of righteousness? It is interesting, too. It's the word of righteousness. What do you think the word of righteousness is going to produce? Black-hearted, terrible sinners, right? That are a wreck of a disaster. That's what the word of righteousness is going to produce. Word of righteousness is going to produce righteous people. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Maturity and discernment, I've become convinced, are incredibly, incredibly underrated. People don't have a tendency to even recognize maturity and discernment. I have a personal request for you, okay? A personal request from me to you. And here's my personal request. Listen carefully and watch carefully. I'm not talking right now, okay? I mean, that would be nice, but okay. Listen carefully and watch carefully. Because the Lord wants us to have our senses trained to discern good and evil. Okay? And that discernment cannot really take place unless we're listening and watching and have our senses trained by that. Let's talk about maturity for just a second. And I don't like generational attacks, but I don't think that this is a generational attack. I think that this is a maturity attack, and I'm going to be careful with my language and say some teenagers, not all teenagers, okay? But some teenagers, they have a tendency to know everything. Did you know that? There's some teenagers out there who know everything, and it's really pretty amazing that they know everything, that they could be that young and know everything, but they do. And if you're concerned about that, or if you think that they might not know everything, just ask them, right? And they would be happy to tell you about everything because they know it, right? And that's really pretty amazing. But as they grow older, and you know, part of that is the case that it's individual. You know, they're starting to individuate, and so they have to go through it, right? Like, you get it. It's part of them becoming their own person, and that's just fine. But as they grow older and have more experience, what happens? They learn how much they don't know. It's like that old poem or the old illustration that, you know, basically when I was 18, I figured out that my dad didn't know nothing. You know, 21, he really doesn't know anything. 25, well, he's not quite as dumb as I thought he was. You know, and the poem ends, you know, 50 or 55. I just wish I had another chance to talk to my dad because to realize how wise he was, right? Because you kind of go through this process of understanding wisdom and maturity. But how is that wisdom and maturity in a physical way really gained? Well, really, the way that that's gained is it doesn't just happen. It's a process of working with other people. What you see is that even though physical maturity maybe takes place whether you want it to happen to or not, that doesn't mean mental and emotional maturity takes place in the same way, does it? Let me ask a question. Have we seen an elongating of adolescence within our society? Right? It used to be not at all normal that a 25 or a 30-year-old is living with their parents still, right? And is that more and more normal today? Well, what's that happening? Or what's happening there? An elongating of adolescence, right? That's what's happening there. So maturity isn't just like absorbed. Maturity takes place through working with other people. What has a tendency to mature people? Well, if they get married, that has a tendency to mature them because like they have to think about somebody else and they have to figure out how lifestyle A and what's normal for A and lifestyle B and what's normal for B is going to come together and they're going to somehow live together and not kill each other, right? They have to figure that out, right? And it's not always the most simple thing in the world, right? What about when they have kids? You thought you had to start to be selfless when you got married. You didn't know nothing, right? Like that's easy peasy, right? Hey, you have kids and there's something else. Well, what else happens? You have bosses and coworkers and employees. And all of those things go to mature us. You go through loss of people that you care about and gain new relationships. And those are the things that mature us in a physical level or an emotional and mental level. But where I want to go with this is there can be this same trap spiritually. That there's a tendency that people have to maybe give advice from their ivory towers without really being mature in Christ. And so I want to encourage us to make sure that our help, our advice, our view of the Word of God certainly needs to be based upon the truth of the Scripture, but also needs to be on the ability to apply Scripture to see positive change. That it's not just theoretical, but you're able to translate theory into practicality by working with other people. It's how maturity is gained. And it goes back to the old trope that communism is great in theory, right? In theory, no problem. You put real people into that, there's a huge issue, right? Well, biblical truths and principles are already always right, but we need to examine application. How we apply those principles really determines whether our results are life-giving or life-taking. How we apply those principles. Again, the truth of the Scripture is always the truth of the Scriptures. How are you going to apply those scriptural truths? And so that leads us to discernment. Again, it's where I encourage you, please pay attention. Pay attention to fruit. Pay attention to the results that you want to get. People have a tendency to accept way too many things on their face. I'll point something out. I really appreciate the rallies. I really appreciate the camps that we have. I think that those things are really, really good. But when a guy comes up here to speak, here, anywhere, okay, they come up to speak at a camp or a rally, they have the right in that moment to say let's put it this way, to call it the way they see it. Right? They have the right to call it the way they see it. And as they have the right to call it the way that they see that, that actually is really, really good, because one of the things that happens is that the thought process needs to continue on, right? And boundaries need to be pushed so that we can make sure that we're actually thinking outside of the box, right? And that the freedom of thought can continue to move forward. Because when you start to create a box, okay, that's really, really dangerous, because then you don't have the ability for freedom of thought to actually move forward. That makes sense? So people have the ability to say things that they want to say, call it the way that they see it, in a platform or in an area like that. But I want you guys to be really, really clear. And again, I like the guys who we have speak, and I think they're good guys, and otherwise wouldn't have them speak, and at these family camps, so on and so forth. But just because a guy says it from up here does not make it true. You need to constantly be checking it out with the truthfulness of the Scriptures. And not only you're like, yeah, of course, check it out with the truthfulness of the Scriptures, but also take a look at the fruit. Okay, what application is really being made? Where's the practicality and the helpfulness, right? And so, again, we want to be really careful, because we can kind of get in this mindset, well, you know, so-and-so said it. Oh, okay, well, let's check it out, man. Be discerning. Pay attention, okay? people imply way too much on what they hear, okay? And people accept way too many things on their face. Again, I'm just encouraging us, let's look at fruit and be discerning. What you what you want in your life, okay, follow the results of their faith. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So my conclusion this afternoon is set your mind on things above. Seek the things that God deems important. And allow Scripture and working with others to help you to mature and to learn true discernment.